give you another short verse from Jesus' words. Maybe I will ask this first. How many of you remember the verse from the last Sunday's message? Anyone here? Did I get my point across? Yes. My wife remembers. Joe remembers. Anyone else? Does someone want to recite the verse? Any volunteers for that? Yes, Bob. Yes. If any man, I think he says, if any man will shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. So glad you remembered that. The verse I'd like to give you today is also found in Jesus' words. And I came across this verse some time ago when I was reading in John. Actually, this is John 15. That was in John 12, kind of a similar verse. Jesus said in John 15, 14, ye are my friends. If ye, what's the next word?
Do.
Thank you, brother. If ye do, and what's the next word?
Whatsoever.
Whatsoever. Whatsoever. If ye do whatsoever, I, Jesus, command you. So, that's my point for today. Jesus' words, own words. And my title is, The Test of Love. There is many, many words today about love and how God is a God of love and He is a God of love, and He loves us very much, and we love Him. Probably if I would ask all of you that are believers here this morning, do you love God? You would say, yes, I love God. Maybe very much, we would say. Now, what I want to look at today is the test. This is the test of our love for God. That's what Jesus was saying. If ye do whatsoever I command you, you're my friends. And there's many verses like that in the New Testament. So the test of love, we could, I guess that would be the title, or I thought of this title, Commandments Under Attack. In the book of Revelations, chapter 12, verse 17, it says, the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments. So, if we're keeping the commandments of God, we're under attack from the dragon. And have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I thought that was interesting. He went to make war with the people that could keep the commandments of God. And I thought it was interesting how that the devotional, Brother Joe shared this morning, and the Sunday school lesson that Jonathan shared. I didn't know what the Sunday school lesson was going to be, and to my shame, I should have studied, but I usually excuse myself when I have a message to prepare. I don't often study the Sunday school lesson. But it fits very well, thinking about preserving the doctrines of Jesus Christ and keeping the commandments of God. So notice who is under attack. If you are keeping the commandments of God, you are under attack of the enemy. I am under attack of the enemy. Do we recognize that fact? You know, in the military, they have what they call stealth fighters, and they try to fly invisible or under the radar or whatever. And that's what's happening in the Christian experience. The devil has angels of light appearing as angels of light. So he is trying to deceive us. He's trying to deceive us, and we're under attack. And he's coming to attack us in this area of commandments. Now, there's two ways to approach this. We could approach it and say you have to keep the commandments. And we write out a whole list of commandments. We find all the commandments that God gave us. And we write them on the board and we say, I must keep these commandments. Is that how we approach that issue? It's a little like You know, I'm married to I have a blessed wife. I have a good wife, and I could say a whole bunch of things about her. She's great, a great woman. And so she knows, you know, what I like by now, after all these years. I know what she likes. And I could say, okay, I could write them all down. This is what she likes. And so I could just focus. I'm going to just do these things. I'm going to make sure I do these things. Maybe there would be a book of all of these different things written in that women like. And there's books like that. And so we, as a man, we take this book and we open it up and we say, okay, women like these things. I'm going to do all these things. And that's not a bad thing. However, there must be something deeper than that. There has to be a relationship with my wife if it's going to mean anything to her. You know, if I don't love my wife and yet I help her make the bed in the morning, which I do every morning after we get up, I help her make the bed. I don't really like making the bed. If it was up to me, I'd probably just throw the covers up and go out the door. But I know that she likes the bed looking nice. And so I help her make the bed. Now, if I would do it, I could do that without loving my wife. And how do you think she would feel? I would just be there doing it just because I have to. There's no want to. There's nothing behind it. So that's the point that we want to see today. The commandments are the test of your love. Yes, our relationship with God is a relationship of love. We love God. When you become a Christian, you love God because why? He first loved us. God puts His love in our hearts. So yes, we have love. Now, the reason we want to look at this is, do we really love God? Do we really love God? Like we say, yes, I love God. Do we really love God? How do we know? Because of this test of what Jesus said. All right? Some people are very concerned about not being able to hang the Ten Commandments on the courthouse wall. Is that what this is talking about? No. Might be something to be concerned about, but that's not what Jesus was saying. Other people are very concerned that we keep the traditional, conservative approach to lifestyle and focus largely on keeping. Largely on keeping. I have to do these things. I have to do these things. I must maintain this whatever. There are people that say and believe that only what you feel on the inside is what determines whether or not you are right with God. Somebody asks you, do you love God? So we say, yes, I love God. I just feel that love for God. That is also a good thing. But those are actually probably the two sides of the ditches where people will profess that they know Jesus and they say, yes, I love you, God. But they go their way and do their own thing. Then we have other people that say, I'm going to keep the commandments. And that's what their focus is. And so it must be that I do love God. There's a balance in between there. And hopefully we can find that balance. We live in a feeling-oriented culture. And we probably don't hardly know this anymore. But I would say if you would ask someone that was born back, maybe Willard and Thelma, you might be able to verify this. I think it was somewhere in the 60s that this thought came out, if it feels good, what? We all know the statement, don't we? If it feels good, do it. And it has a sexual connotation, actually. But that's what our culture is doing today. If it feels good, just do it. If you don't feel like going to church, don't go to church. If you feel like doing whatever, just go do it. That's wrong. So our love for God is more than a feeling, even though there's feelings involved. My cliche for that statement, let's exchange the statement, if it feels good, do it, with, if it pleases the Lord, do it. As Christians, that should be our cliche, our motto. If it pleases the Lord, do it. You know, thinking about love and feelings of love and all of those things. When Jesus came to this earth, did He come because because it felt good? No, He didn't. We know that He left. He left His Father's house. He left all of the glories of heaven to come down to take up His cross and die for us. He didn't do it because He felt good. He did it because He loved us. And that's why we know that He loved us, because of what He did. In Matthew 24:11-13, it says, "Many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." We stand in danger of being in this category. Our love waxing cold. Our love for Jesus Christ waxing cold. It says, "He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Thinking about the strength of love in the Song of Solomon, verse chapter 8, verse 7, it says, "Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would be utterly condemned." Love is stronger than death. Love is stronger than death. How strong is your love for God? How strong is your love for God? And before you answer that question, look at what Jesus said. "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." How strong is your love for God? Another way to ask that same question, how concerned are you about the commandments of God? Now, I realize this message is probably not a very popular message. However, it is the Word of God. I am only telling you what Jesus said, what God says. So you listen to Him. Don't worry about me. It is not the words that come out of our mouth. 1 John 3:18 says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in" what? Somebody say it over here. "Deed and in truth." Thank you, brother. Not in word, not in tongue. That's so easy to do. You know, we can do that, but in deed and in truth is the way we're to love. The strength of your love for God is mirrored by your obedience to His commandments. If you say that you love God, the only way that statement is true is if it comes out in a living obedience to Jesus Christ. And if you say that you love God and you don't obey Jesus Christ, you don't love Him. I'm sorry. The two are connected. You can't divorce one from the other. Our obedience to God's commandments are a commentary of our love for Him. The Church of Jesus Christ is identified by what they do with the commandments of God. If you're out there looking for the Church of Jesus Christ, look for people that are living in obedience to Jesus Himself. Those are His real people. That is His real church. I do want to say this. There is growth in our life. So maybe you're just a young Christian. And I'm not saying because you're not doing everything right that you're not a Christian. I don't want to come across that way. What I am saying is when God shines the light upon my heart and upon your heart, and He says, "Look, I want you to go this way in this issue of your life," and you say, "I'll have to think about it." Or you look at it and you say, "No, I don't want to think about it." That's what I'm talking about. When God speaks into your heart and you respond in ways other than dedicated obedience to Jesus Christ, that's what I'm talking about. All right, the scripture passage we'd like to look at is John 14. You can turn to there if you want to. Actually, it's John 15. I want to read a couple passages out of John 14 first. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, If ye love me, keep my commandments. Verse 21 of the same chapter, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he shall be loved. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." In verse 23 and 24 of the same chapter, Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." Notice the ifs in these passages. If. What are the ifs about? Simply what's on the board there. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. In verse 24 of John 14, he that loveth me not. Notice what he says. He gives the other side of it. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, Jesus said, but it comes from God. It's my Father's. But the Father's which sent me. All right, John 15, verse 1. Jesus talking here, speaking to us. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Notice verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken. Jesus said, I'm telling you these things for your good. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment. Here's one of them. That ye love one another as I have loved you. Do you think that commandment is under attack? We all know the answer, don't we? That's where the devil works first, is in our love one to another. Our love for God, first of all, and then, of course, our love for one another as well. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man laid down his life for his friends. In our text verse, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Again, these things I command you, that ye love one another. I don't think that Jesus could tell us often enough. You know, we have the words, don't we? We have the commandments. Now it's up to us to allow him to work those things out in our lives. All right, now I'm going to ask for some back feed from you, or feedback from the audience. What are some of the commandments under attack today? You tell me, and I'll write them on the board. As you think about the fact that the dragon is attacking us, attacking those that keep his commandments, what are some of the commandments that are under attack?
A life of ease. I took the memory verse for today and looked up 18 references where Jesus said, "Take heed." Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesses. However you want to abbreviate that. Materialism is really spoken.
I got that spelled wrong, but yes, beware of covetousness. Jesus, the Bible tells us, those people will not enter into heaven. The devil knows that. So if he can get a Christian to become covetous and desire after things to where that becomes his passion in life, he's got him. All right, that's one of them. What was the first commandment that Jesus said all other commandments hang on? What was it? Yes. Love God. That's the top of the list. Love God. And what was the next to the top of the list? Over here somewhere. Yes, Bob.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we already talked about that one, and we know those two are very much under attack. Loving God and loving our neighbor. All right, let's go a little farther. What are some more that the devil is attacking today in our day-to-day in Bedford County, in our church or wherever? What would you say? I'm going to talk about some that we don't really like to talk about that much. I think I saw a hand back there. Was that you, Calvin? Yes. Keep thyself pure. Yes, that's a very good one. Keep thyself pure. Keep yourself pure. Sexually pure. We know that one is certainly under attack as well. The devil has many so-called Christians, even in conservative circles, that are living in impure lives under the cloak of conservative religion, and it's not conservative. It's all kinds of religion. It is conservative, but it's far wider than that. And the challenge to all of us is, are we keeping ourselves pure? And again, it comes back to how much do you love God? If you're not keeping yourself sexually pure, it is a reflection on how much you love God, because God hates sin. He hates sexual sin. And if you're indulging in sexual sin, that means you love that sin more than you love God. But that's a message all on its own. Any other ones? Willard?
Invitation to his coming. I'm still with the take heed. Take heed that no man deceive you.
All right. Deception. The devil comes to us with deception. Bob? That's a good list. Is that why it's hard to be a Christian? Somebody said it's hard and somebody else said it's not hard. But that is really where it becomes difficult is, and I don't know if I'm going to, I'll just put on here, love enemies and all that it entails. Because that runs totally counter to our carnal nature. However, the wonderful thing is that God will kill that carnal nature and put His nature of love in there so that you can love your enemy, even your enemy. Thank you for that one. That's very good. Yes, Gabe.
Rejoice evermore.
All right. Rejoice. When you feel good? No. Rejoice especially when you don't feel good. That's what I think God is looking for. Because we can all rejoice when things are going well for us. Pray without ceasing. All right, those are all very good ones. I'd like for us to think a little bit about some doctrinal ones. We had in our Sunday school lesson about the value of good doctrine. What are some doctrinal ones that are being attacked today, would you say, Jake? Yes, the marriage. Pure marriages. That's another trap that I believe that the devil tries to get as many people in as he can, because he knows when you're trapped in an impure marriage or a illegitimate marriage, he's got you. Very few people are willing to give up a marriage for the sake of following Jesus Christ.
The incarnation of Christ.
The incarnation of Christ, all right? What does that mean?
God in the flesh.
God in the flesh, okay. Incarnation of Christ. Yes, that was a real one even back in the day of the apostles.
And still is.
Yes, that's right. Any others? All right, I don't want to spend too much time here. I'm going to go over a few of the ones that I have. Love, which we talked about. Pure sexual purity. Jesus, very clear in Matthew 5, said, I say to you, if you look on a woman to lust after her, you're an adulterer. Be not conformed to this world, Those are also the words of God. And I think that Christians are losing sight of who they are in Jesus Christ. And they are comparing their life with the world, intending to conform their life to the world. Lay not up treasure on earth, being angry with your brother. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification. Here's one that's good for all of us that we don't like to, and that's why I said I might say some that we don't really like to hear. But the Bible in the New Testament tells us how to dress ourselves. Outward adorning. If you want to know how to clothe your body, your children, go into the Bible and follow the things. It's not hard. It's not hard. We have those verses there in Peter about outward adorning. And you look them up and just remember, these are things that God gave to us so that our joy might be full. He gave them to us. I appreciate John Dee's perspective on the thing about commandments. He says, God has perfect wisdom. We all know that, don't we? He has perfect wisdom. He knows everything about everything. And he knows that we can't know all of those. He knows our little brains are too small to know all of that wisdom. So God gave us commandments because he knows what's good for us. And so he told us these things. Love God most of all. Love your neighbor. And then keep yourself pure and all of those different things. And he tells us how to dress ourselves because he knows the wisdom of it. I'm not talking about a culture or whatever you want to. I am just simply talking about clothing yourselves the way that God is pleased with. You might think, well, he's a Mennonite. He's coming from a Mennonite standpoint. Just forget about all of that and think about what pleases God in your dress. God is concerned about dress because he said fig leaves aren't good enough. Started all the way back in the Garden of Eden. He said, fig leaves, they're not good enough. They're not good enough for me. They don't meet my standard. So I'm going to give you some clothes that are proper. And by the way, the verse in, I forget which one it is, that talks about modest apparel, either Peter or
Timothy
maybe. That modest there simply means proper. Dress yourself properly, and I'm not going to tell you what that is. I might get myself in trouble, but if you want to know what proper dress is, you ask God, because he cares about how you're dressed and how we dress ourselves and our children, all of those things. Okay, honor thy father and thy mother, which is another one that is a commandment in the Bible. You know, young people, God gave you that commandment to honor your parents. And it's such a blessing when that happens. And I just have to confess, I wasn't a very good one at that when I was growing up. But I want to recommend it because being on the receiving end, now it feels a little different, doesn't it? We all know that as parents. Honoring those in authority, 1 Peter 2, verse 17. And if we don't care about what God has commanded us to do in these real to life issues, then we don't really love God. I hope I'm not being too rough, but I'm only telling you what the Bible tells us. All right, I think we'll let that. I believe you get the point. God has given us many commandments, and those commandments are under attack by the enemy. How do we counteract? We strengthen these here. We strengthen this one. Focus on God's love for you. Allow him to strengthen that love in your heart. He will. If you dedicate and consecrate yourself to God, he will strengthen that love in you. And the stronger this love becomes for God, the less trouble you're going to have with all these other things. It's just the way it works. The stronger your love becomes for God, the less trouble you're going to have. So that is my biggest point. Even though it's very important, the commands are very important, the main point is, how much do I love God? And the way that you know how much you love God is, how much are you concerned about what God said? All right, I'd like to look a little bit about the strength of love. How strong is love? Did you ever stop and think about what love is? You know, just think about how you love your wife. I mean, how can you... It's kind of hard to get a hold of, isn't it? We could say, well, it's an emotion, but it's more than an emotion. We could say it's a commitment, but it's more than a commitment. I don't know, but one thing we know, it's very strong. You know, strong, macho men are brought to their knees for the love of a woman. We all know those stories, don't we? Men will give up everything because they love a woman. They'll give up. You know the stories. I don't need to go into that. So love is very, very strong. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 6. Set a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is as strong as death. I had said it earlier. Love is as strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. In 2 Samuel 23, verses 15 through 16, it says, David longed, this is an example of how strong love is. David longed and said, oh, that one would give me to drink of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And you probably all remember that story, but an incredible display of consecration to their King David. They loved him so much. Three men broke through the Philistine army and went to the well by Bethlehem and brought him a cup or a container of water. That was because they loved him. Another one we have that reflects the strength of love is Genesis 29, verse 20. It says, Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him like a long time. Nope, seemed to him like a few days. 7 years, a few days. Why? Because of the love he had to her. And I always feel sorry for Jacob, what happened after that. But anyways, it says he had so much love for her, 7 years. We think that's a long time to wait for a wedding day. But it says it was a couple days because of the love he had for her. The point is, how strong is love? Love is strong. You know, in our marriages, unselfish love is what drives a marriage to success. Are you having trouble in your marriage? I don't know if anybody here does or not. But if you are having problems, and the potential is always there, get out the unselfish love, and it will drive your marriage to success. Love in a marriage will do unpleasant things just because of love. And love in our marriage, I'm not sure why that's doing that. In our marriage, my wife and I, I don't call these necessarily unpleasant, but I couldn't think of a lot of real bad things, but making the bed, I do it just because I love my wife, not for any other reason, probably not. Washing the dishes sometimes. I'll help my wife wash the dishes. Do I like to wash dishes? No, not really. But I like to do it with her because I love her. Taking out the garbage. Is it fun to take the garbage out? No, but we do those things, unpleasant things, because of the love. You know, it's great that there are also things in marriage that you like to do together. It's not just all the unpleasant. So if you're thinking about marriage, I'm sure there's at least one here that is. There is a lot of, in fact, the things that we like to do together are probably more than the things we don't like. But all I'm trying to bring out is the strength of love and what love causes us to do. And in the back of your mind, remember and apply it to this, to your relationship with Jesus Christ. The love of God in the heart has inspired many successful missionary attempts. The love of God in our hearts, in Bedford County, in this church house, keeps us plugging away against impossible odds. It's because that's why I'm still here. It's probably why you're here, I hope. Because you love God and you love His people. And when rough times come along, which they will, is totally normal, we keep plugging away because we have God's love in our heart. And we want to see Him be glorified. You know, I talked about this earlier. If my wife would just do whatsoever I command her, but would hate to do them, what kind of a relationship would that be? I think maybe that's how some Christians live. They know God said, you must not commit adultery, and you shall not kill, and you shall love your enemies, and all of those things. And they do them, but, you know, that's about all. That's God wants much more for us than that. Jesus gave us His example. He said, "He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him." I suppose that verse could read, "I do always those things that He commands me." But Jesus said, "I do those things because I know God, my Father in heaven, is pleased when I do those things." So the motivation for Jesus to do the things that God commanded Him, and that's what He was doing when He was here. He made that abundantly clear. He told the Pharisees that. "The things I'm telling you, I'm getting from God. The things I'm doing, I'm getting from God. And I'm doing them because I please Him. I want to please Him. Whosoever, therefore, thinking about commandments and keeping them, in Matthew 5:19, whosoever, therefore, shall break one of these least commandments." And I'm not sure what all that was that Jesus was referring to. And then He says, "And shall teach men so, shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Who or what is governing your life? If there's any mechanics here, and I'm not much of one, but I know that at least some of the older engines require a governor, or they'll go wild. So the governor controls how the motor runs. Today, I guess it's electronics. All that's done computer and electronics, but the governor would only allow the RPMs to go so high and so on. Now, what is governing your life? Who is the governor in your life? Who or what is telling you what you can do or can't do? Where you can go or can't go? Who or what in your life is doing that? Is it your culture? Is it something else? Is it your reputation? What is it? Or is it the love of God in the heart? The love of God in the heart. God wants it to be so in all of our lives that His love in our heart is governing our lives in every aspect. The things that I do, the things that come out of my mouth, the words I say, I'm conscious of them because I know how God feels. I know how God thinks. And so I want to please Him. And so I won't say the words that come to my mind. I won't do the things that this old carnal flesh wants to do because I know that it does not love God, doesn't please God. Why do I do the things I do? Why do you do? You know, one of the things that I was going to mention, I don't think I mentioned it, and this is one that's definitely under attack. And it's a very subtle one, but we have the passage in 1 Corinthians 11 that talks about a woman covering her hair. I'm not the editor of that passage, but God gave us that passage, and He told you women what to do with your hair. Are you concerned about it, or are you more concerned about, well, they're doing it this way, so I'm going to do it that way too? What is guiding you in life? Do you love God? God gave us His Word, and if you really love Him, you're going to read through the Bible and say, okay, that's what God said, and that's what pleases Him, so I'm going to do that because I love Him. I've many times wished for the opportunity, and I try to do this, and I realize I probably can't completely, but when you read through the Bible, you read the commandments of Jesus and of God through the apostles and so on, Try to read it like you would be reading it for the first time. You know, the issue like loving your enemies or loving your neighbor how God tells us to dress ourselves and so on. If you were totally picked out of your culture, moved over here, and all of those influences would be taken away, how would you apply that commandment or principle to your life? Try to think of it in that way and just simply live that way. And you'll come out right. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Thinking about the strength of love. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Paul's words in Romans 8. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. How could these people do this? We don't know anything about this kind of a situation where we would be killed for the love that we have for God. We don't know anything about that, but that is very possible. You know, people have been tortured, and it's going on right now in many places. God has blessed us with freedom here, but many countries it's not so. People are being killed and tortured and indescribable ways. They can be faithful to God because love is strong. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life, death, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, things in the future. We don't know what the future holds, but we're persuaded. Height, depth. I wondered what he meant by height. Why did he say height? Was he scared of height? Was Paul afraid of height, do you think? He said, it don't matter how high you take me, you can't separate me from the love of Christ. Unless that means something else, I'm not sure. Depth, we can be taken all the way to the bottom of the sea, to the deepest depth wherever, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. Height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. No thing. That's what nothing is. No thing can separate us from the love of Christ. No thing can separate us from Christ if our love is intense and loyal. If your love is lukewarm, you're going to be separated from God, no doubt. If your love for Jesus Christ is intense and loyal, there's nothing that can come in between there. It doesn't matter how severely, how strong the devil attacks us. There is nothing that can come in between. Impossible. And that is comforting. That is very stabilizing in life. When you face the difficult situations in your life, to realize that there is nothing that can happen in my life that can separate me from God. Nothing. All right, you say it with me. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. All right, I think I'll close with that. I'm going to close in prayer. And who could I ask to close? I always forget to ask someone before I come up here. But Jake, would you want to come up and close after prayer? So we pray. Thank you.